is a bit of a strange one. I've titled this message, Spotting a Burger King Christian. Spotting, and by the way, we have, they're not here today. The Bittingers are away this weekend, but Brother Don Bittinger is a manager down at the Burger King on East Michigan Avenue. And it's still a good thing to go to Burger King even after this message, amen. Now don't go there eight days a week, amen. It wouldn't be good for you, amen. But you'll understand where I get the title. We are bombarded constantly by advertising with many slogans in our day. Some of you older ones remember when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Remember that one, E.F. Hutton? But he just be quiet, amen. Dunkin' Donuts claims that America runs on Dunkin'. Amen. You know that. Amen. Some of you do. Federal Express was the ones that said, use us when it absolutely positively has to be there overnight. If you had your Wheaties this morning, you know that Wheaties are the breakfast of champions. Amen. So many of us know these little slogans. Nike has made a fortune on the slogan, just do it. But Burger King's slogan is this, have it your way. Now again, that's fine for hamburgers. Well, we're going to look today at someone in the Bible who was, if we could call him in the Old Testament, a Burger King Christian. Somebody who thought he could do it his way instead of God's way. You see, as we read through the text in 1 Samuel chapter 15, we read where God says to utterly smite the Amalekites. And for those of you that are maybe new to the Bible, why don't you just turn back to Deuteronomy chapter number 25. Deuteronomy 25 in verses 17 through 19, just a few books back is the book of Deuteronomy. We don't normally do a lot of traveling in the Bible on Sunday morning, but it's so important as you remember this story. Why did God give such a harsh commandment to Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites? Well, Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 through 19 tells us why. Deuteronomy chapter number 25, in verse 17 says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt. So here comes Israel and they're marching on the Exodus. Verse 18 says, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. You see, when Israel traveled from the Exodus, the weakest of the bunch and the eldest and the children would stay towards the back, and Amalek waited for all the warriors and all the strong ones to pass by, and then they smote the weakest of the Israelites. And ladies and gentlemen, you read the Old Testament, Israel is God's chosen people. And God takes an offense like that against His people ever so seriously. And so God said, I am going to wipe Amalek off the face of the earth. And He says to Saul, I want you to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. He said everything. Everybody and everything. A harsh commandment. By the way, let us never point a finger at God when He deals in measure to what we deserve. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we deserve hell, but God is gracious and merciful. Listen, when a sinner rejects Christ and dies and goes to hell, that is what we deserve, for we are all sinners. And the wages of sin is death. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. But thank God for the second birth that helps us to avoid the second death. All from God. The mercy of God. But here, particularly in the Old Testament, God deals in measure with Amalek. And He says to Saul, I want you to destroy everybody and everything. And so Saul comes down and he does what we would call the hard part Brother Kelly. He takes care of all the women, the children, the soldiers, everything, but he leaves the best of the sheep and the oxen, and he leaves the king alive. Now, by the way, if you were willing to do all those other things, it would sure be better to just do what God said. Take care of the king, take care of all those sheep, but no, he didn't. And he comes to Samuel in verse number 13, and it's amazing how sin can deceive us. You know, the Bible talks about in James 1:22 that we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only, because we deceive our own selves. When we hear what the word of God says and we refuse to do it, we become deceivers of our own selves. We start believing our own lies. And here comes Saul, did not do what God said, and he comes and says in verse 13, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And I imagine he did it, Brother Lawley, probably in a pretty pious way. He might have straightened his tie. He might have cleaned his teeth and said to old Samuel, "How you doing, Samuel? Good to see you. Hey, I performed the commandment of the Lord, by the way. Thanks for coming by." And Samuel said, "Excuse me, if you perform the commandment of the Lord, why do I hear sheep behind me? Why do I hear the oxen back there lowing?" "Oh, well, let me rephrase that. What I meant to say was, I performed the commandment of the Lord, but the people wanted the sheep and the oxen for..." Isn't it amazing how we're nothing changes. We play the blame game, don't we? We play the blame game. When God points the finger at us and says, "Thou art the man," we say, no. Like Adam. What did Adam do? "Hey, Adam, did you?" No. The woman you gave me. And then Eve, did you? No. It was the serpent. And we're just like that today, amen? Playing a little hide and seek with God. And we ought to just say, it's me, Lord. And here Saul, he goes over and over, and you can read it down through what happens here. And we'll look at it in a little bit. But I want you, if I could, to look at me at this text today. And I want to look at seven ways that I can spot a Burger King Christian. Seven ways. Maybe in your life you'd look at this reflectively and say, "Is that me?" Brother Pierce asked in Sunday school how many people were willing to die for Jesus Christ. And I didn't know he wanted hands, by the way. I would put my hand up, amen? He didn't ask for hands. But he said, "How many people are willing to lose your fortune to be able to witness for Christ?" And I thought to myself, how many of us are really willing in those things? Probing questions. But maybe today, as we look at this message and look through this text, you could identify some areas in your life where you're a have-it-your-way Christian. By the way, Burger King Christianity is not the Christianity we want here at Loomis Park Baptist Church. We want Wendy's, old-fashioned. Amen? That's what we want. Amen? I want you to look, if you would, number one, at verse number 3. Number one way to spot a Burger King Christian is a Burger King Christian rewrites the rules. They rewrite the rules. In verse 3, we remember the story, "Go and smite Amalek, take care of everything and everybody." Verses 7 through 9. "And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur," that is over against Egypt, "and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Paul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the fatlings." God said, "Destroy everybody and everything." And Saul said, "That doesn't apply to me." Do you ever do that with this book? "That doesn't apply to me." Quiet. That's okay. Did you know God said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? You know, when you don't do that, you know what you say? "That doesn't apply to me." It applies to you. It applies. Every promise in this book is for you, and every commandment, amen, in this book is for us. You see, but a Burger King Christian, somebody that has Burger King Christianity, and again, it's fine for hamburgers, but not for living for God, rewrites the rules. They rewrite the rules. I can't tell you how many times in dealing with teenagers as a youth pastor that I've had young people who thought the rules didn't apply to them. The rules didn't apply. Listen, especially you young people, I promise you, rules and fences and borders are not there for your persecution. They're there for your protection. Amen? Some of us that have sinned sins that we wouldn't want anybody to know about, we wouldn't want our children to do that. Why? Because we know it was because we broke the rules. It was because we walked away from what God said. Ladies and gentlemen, a Burger King Christian rewrites the rules. The second way you can spot a Burger King Christian is a Burger King Christian rewards others with sorrow. I want you to look at verse number 11. Here's Saul and his Burger King Christianity, that have it your way. I think I'll just do my own thing. Look at verse 11. Here's God speaking to Samuel, and says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." You see, Burger King Christianity, this have it your way Christianity, this do it the way you want to instead of the way God says to Christianity. You know what it does in your life? Let me speak specifically to young people. Is it rewards other people with sorrow. It keeps mama up all night crying. It keeps daddy wondering where his little girl is. Amen? It keeps your preacher or your youth pastor having a broken heart wondering why you just won't do what God says. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you, a message like this is not going to be preached in the popcorn churches this morning. In the 1 hour cotton candy Christianity services, you won't hear anything like this. It's all fluff. It's all happy. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with being happy in the Lord. And I preach happy messages once a year. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's a message of warning though, isn't it? The idea of they rewrite the rules, they reward others with sorrow. When you're a Burger King Christian, you just don't care that other people are hurting because of your sin. Your sin hurts others. Something else that we see about a Burger King Christian is a Burger King Christian, they rewrite the rules and they reward others with sorrow, but they do receive rebuke. Look at verses 13, 14, and 19. It says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Go down to verse 19. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Lord?" Something that will always happen with a Burger King Christian is God will bring somebody into your life to say you're doing wrong. So a lot of times it's mom and dad. And by the way, can I say this, young people? Praise God for a mom and dad that say no. Amen? No. When my little boy Eric was playing in the yard and he gets too close to the sidewalk, which is close to the road, you know what daddy says? "Well, it's okay. You can just do whatever you want." No. He says, "No! Get away from there!" And he goes, and usually starts crying, amen, and walking back. And that's what I want, amen. I want him to think, anytime you get near the road, start crying, amen. Why? Because I'm a horrible parent? No. I love my boy. I want to see him get hit by a car, maimed for life, maybe killed. Listen, God will bring somebody in your life to rebuke you. By the way, if you're not actively witnessing for the Lord, you need to be rebuked. Brother Pierce hit it. We're almost home. How can we call ourselves Christians and not witness for the Lord in this day of all days? My goodness. But God will bring somebody along to rebuke you. By the way, you know who it is most of the time? It's the sweet Holy Spirit of God. You get in that Bible, you read that Bible, and Holy Spirit says, "That's you. That's you." You say, "How do you know, Pastor?" Because it's usually, "That's you. That's you," when I read my Bible. Amen. Sometimes it's the man of God. Sometimes, by the way, God will even use lost people to rebuke you. You ever had that happen, Brother Jones? Hey, I thought you were a Christian. Amen? When you listened to that story you shouldn't listen to, or laughed at that dirty joke that wasn't honoring to God, and somebody came and rebuked you, and the Holy Spirit said, that's right. You see, a Burger King Christian, they rewrite the rules, they reward others with sorrow, they receive rebuke. Something else they are, if you look at our text in verses 13 and 20. They're a religious phony. They're a religious phony. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou, O the Lord, I perform the commandment of the Lord. Verse 20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone in the way which the Lord hath sent me. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of religious phonies today in modern Christianity. They think because you wear a nice suit or a nice tie or a dress that hangs down to the floor that you've got something. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? Jehovah's Witnesses do that. Amen? And by the way, I'm for standards. Don't think I'm not. I'm for standards. I think you ought to look the best you ever looked during the week when you come to the house of God. And what you have, you say, well, I don't have much. Well, it ought to be ironed. Amen? It ought to be pressed. It ought to look right for God. I'm not saying that. But Saul here was a religious phony. He thought by partial obedience that that was truly obeying God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, partial obedience is the brother of complete disobedience. And all God's people said. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is not a buffet. We don't get to just take some of this. Ooh, I don't want that. Suffering? No. Ooh, good. Happiness? Yeah, I'll take some of that. And persecution? No. I'm going back to happiness here. Give me some more happiness on my plate. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is a meal that God lays out for us. And you know, according to the Bible, what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to eat what's put before us. Amen? But we've got this attitude in our day that some of these slogans that we were talking about, they infect our thinking. And ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have a your way Christianity. We've got to have God's way Christianity. God's way. They're religious phonies. They know how to carry their Bible. They know what to say. They know the lingo. They know how to dress. They know how to act. But you mark it down. Burger King Christians are religious phonies. Something else they are, in verses 15, 20, and 21, they're remorseless in responsibility. We talked about it a little bit. It says, and Saul said, they have brought from them the Amalekites, verse 15, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. Remember what he said in verse 13, he said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And then Samuel called him on the carpet. He said, well, no, it was the people. It was the people. Look at verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've obeyed the Lord and have gone in the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen. See, they're remorseless in responsibility. Listen, can I just say this? And I've heard this statement. It's such a cliche statement. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Did you know that? You can be as close to God as you want to be. Amen? You can. You can be in your Bible every day. You can be in prayer. You can try to pass out gospel tracts at the grocery store and the restaurant and every place. You can be as close to God as you want to be. So when you're not, stop blaming everybody else. Amen? When you're not as close to, well, you know, if my parents did this, or if I was able, no, stop. It is your fault when you're far away from God. Now, here's the wonderful thing. God's just standing there waiting for you to turn around. Amen? He's just right there where you left Him. And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We just get down on our knees and tell God we're sorry and that we messed up and it wasn't the people and it wasn't Mom and Dad, it wasn't Pastor John, it wasn't Pastor Rich, it was me. And you know what? He'd be right there to welcome us back. By the way, you never get out of the family. Amen? You may get out of sorts with the head of the family, but you never get out of the family. You see, Burger King Christianity is remorseless in responsibility. Number six, Burger King Christianity not only rewrites the rules and rewards others with sorrow and receives rebuke and is religious phony and remorseless in responsibility, but it reigns supreme in pride. Look at verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And can we say, we know right away that this was not talking about Saul's physical stature. Because the Bible tells us, Mr. Jack, that Saul was head and shoulders above all the Israelites. And I believe that was referring to his physical stature. He just stood out that much. But it's talking about how when we're humble before God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the sins that we know for sure sends people to hell is pride. Why is it that a man won't get saved and he's lived a good moral life? It's pride. It's pride. But I can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that pride creeps into every one of our lives, including this preacher. You're looking at a preacher that if he doesn't deal with his sin will become full of pride. And so will you, and all God's people said. See, because pride is the mother of all sins, isn't it, Brother Harmon? It's that sin that Lucifer had in his heart that said, I'm going to be God. And God said, nothing created is ever going to be me. Because God is without creation. Ex nihilo, amen? Never been created. You see, but the idea here, spotting a Burger King Christian, is they reign supreme in pride. Saul was just lifted up his pride and said, I can do it my way, and my way is better than God's way. No, it's not. No, it's not. Your way is not better than God's way either. My way is not better than God's way. God's way is the way. Why is it that people won't get saved? Because they won't come to the way, the truth, and the life. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 tell us. Not only, let me give you number seven. They reign supreme in pride, they're remorseless in responsibility, they're religious phonies. They receive rebuke, they reward others with sorrow, they rewrite the rules. Number seven, they ruin relationships. Burger King Christians ruin relationships. Look at verse 35. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. You see, in this day in the Old Testament, the king and the prophet were very close. They had close fellowship one with another. Samuel was the prophet of God, and Saul was king over Israel, first king. And they had sweet fellowship one with another. But now, because of Saul's have it your way mentality, his idea of partial obedience, the Bible says that Samuel came no more to see him until the day of his death, and he mourned for Saul all the rest of his life. You see, when you have this idea that I don't need the rules, and I don't need this, and I don't need that. You know what you're going to do? You're going to ruin a relationship with somebody. I'm thinking of a young lady right now. I'll be completely anonymous with this. Not in our church, from New England, and moved to a different area. One day, she was seeing this boy, and a red flag right there, amen, that her parents didn't approve of. Come on. By the way, if mom and dad don't approve, it's usually a good thing to walk away. Especially if they come to a church like this. Amen. And so this was a young man that he wasn't a completely wicked, rebellious kid, but mom and dad didn't approve. They didn't like him. But he kept hanging around and trying to circumvent mom and dad's authority. That's red flag number two. Calling her and talking to her when mom and dad said no. And it wasn't long before mom and dad wondered where their little girl was. She was supposed to be at work. And they went to her work and her car was there. But she was not at work. Ladies and gentlemen, they thought she'd been kidnapped. They thought with every thought that you would have as a parent, they had started going crazy in their head, Brother Jenkins. Where is she? Where is she? Opened up the car, there was a note in the car. It said, "I know you don't approve of this, but I'm leaving. I'm not telling you where. I'm going to be with so-and-so." That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, her parents love her. This day, they've been some sort of reconciliation that has happened. But can I tell you that relationship will never be what it was? That young lady broke her mother and father's heart. And listen to me, young people, you can't unbreak a heart. I'll just put it back together. No. Wherever there's a wound, there's a scar. And see, this idea of this Burger King Christianity, that I'll just do it my way. I don't care what my parents say. I don't care what pastor says. I don't care. You know what? It ruins relationships. It ruins relationships. There have been relationships that we've had with people that have been ruined because of Burger King Christianity. And hopefully, you've not been on the wrong end of that. It's a whole lot better to be Samuel than it was to be Saul, wasn't it? Samuel did what God said. You read it in the text. But you say, "Pastor, you've identified some areas for me that I think I have to work on. How can I stop being a Burger King Christian?" Well, the first way is to repent. Just turn to God. Humble yourself before God and say, "God, I was wrong and you're right." By the way, that's what confession of sin is. It's not going into some little room where they pull back a slide and talking to some other man who's a sinner. Amen? Who's a sinner and telling him, spilling your guts to him. No. It's talking to God saying, "You're right. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Help me to do right." That's confession in a nutshell. That's the first thing, to leave or repent. Something else, "Pastor, how can I keep from being a Burger King Christian?" Learn and read the Word of God. You see, this is the manual, ladies and gentlemen. If you've got a, 85 Datsun Z, you got to get the Chilton's manual. Amen. There's parts in there you don't even know about, and you got to find out where they are. You got the manual. This is the manual. This is the manual. This will help you to stop being a Burger King Christian. Not only leave and repent, learn and read, but love or regard what God says. "If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments." John 14:15. This idea of love, we live in a generation where love is just fluff and it's "I love you" and love and love, 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 love. No, listen. Love is doing what is right. Listen, love is a decision that we make. And what we need to do is if we say we love God, we need to do what He says. We say we love God, we need to do what He says. Love, regard, learn, read, leave, repent. How about lean or rely on His strength when temptation comes? It'll help you being a Burger King Christian. Can you say just a few things about Saul in closing? Saul defended his sin. Never a good idea. "Hey, I did what you said except for that." No. That's no good with God. Amen? It's a whole lot better to say, "God, you're right, I'm wrong." Because He is right all the time. Amen? Secondly, not only did he defend his sin, he displeased God by incomplete obedience. Incomplete obedience. There's a lot of that going around in churches today. Incomplete obedience. "I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll do this, but I won't do that." "Well, I know you said, Pastor, we come out on Saturday for soul winning, and I don't really have anything to do, but I just can't do that. I just can't talk." Really? Did God say, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature"? That includes you. That includes me. We're to be witnesses for Christ, no matter what, no matter where. Well, I just can't. No, stop. Amen? Stop. I do that with Eric all the time. He's crying, crying. I say, stop. Stop. Sit. You know what we need to do when we make excuses to God? Stop. Because when we do, we're being Burger King Christians. We are. Saul defended his sin. He displeased his God. He destroyed his life, didn't he? After this, we went from a car wreck to a train wreck. He went off and sought counsel of a witch and ended up falling on his own sword. It didn't go well for Saul. But he thought he could have it his way. And you know what you get when you get it your way? You get it your way. But you don't get God's blessing. I'd rather do it God's way, Brother Chauncey, and have God's blessing. Amen? I know that. Lastly, he was devoured by his own disobedience, wasn't he? Go over to 2 Samuel chapter 1 and we'll close with this. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Very interesting phrase here. Look at verse number 4, if you would. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, how knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And he answered, I am an... What's the next word, folks? Amalekite. Wasn't that the people he was supposed to destroy, right? Supposed to utterly destroy him. And he said unto me, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole. So I stood up upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. You see, when you won't obey God in areas that He works on your heart about, you know what that disobedience is going to do? It's going to devour you. Because that's what disobedience does. So many people have ended up out of church and out of the will of God through this sin of partial obedience. Here's Saul, and this record says he was... Now, by the way, if you read and you'll study your Bible, you'll find out this young man was lying to David. He was lying to David. Because the Bible says that Saul fell on his own spear in 1 Samuel. And he came and told this lie, thinking he would get in David's favor. But the principle is still the same, ladies and gentlemen. Disobedience will devour us. So let's just do what God says. Amen? Let's just do what God says in the area of prayer, Bible reading, church attendance, giving, soul winning. Let's just do what God says. It's a whole lot better to be an old-fashioned Christian than to be a have-it-your-way Christian. Let's bow our heads.